Let's read the Word of God.
This is Luke chapter 19. This is the story of Zacchaeus. I love this story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So we came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." God always blesses the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text. Lord, be our teacher today. Lead us, shape us, move in this scripture, and may these words of mine not be my words. May they be your words. May the words of our mouth, my mouth, and the meditations of all of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So walking into the office this morning, I had a very interesting encounter. I looked down on the ground and I saw a little beetle on the ground. And let me demonstrate, okay, he was laying on the ground. He was having a bad morning. Let me just show you that. Okay, let me just demonstrate this. Because it was kind of like this. He was on the ground, and he was like this. And he just kept going like this. So I felt, have you ever been there? So I felt like I needed to intervene. And I reached down, and I didn't reach down. I tried to kick him with my foot. If I reached down, this thing's going to bite me. So I just tried to kick him with my foot, and it wouldn't work. He just kept staying on his back. And I kicked him with my foot some more. He kept staying on his back. So I tried to pick up a blade of grass or a little bit of grass, and I tried to move him, and I couldn't do it. It wasn't enough. So then I had to touch him. I had to reach down and touch the beetle, and I kept trying to move him my hand, touch him a little bit, and touch him some more. And all right, so I kind of then touched him a little more and grabbed him. Finally, I moved him to the grass. So I did move him to the grass, and I got him into the grass, and then flipped him up. And there he was on a blade of grass. His day got better. Sometimes life's like that. Realize afterward that the Lord had taken me through a little parable of ministry. More on that. Naughty, greedy Zacchaeus, like a beetle. The late great evangelical Bible scholar Leon Morris explains it that Zacchaeus was not simply a tax collector, like others we've met in the gospel. He was a chief tax collector. Big old beetle with sticky hands, you know, getting everybody's money. This title, Archetalonis, is not found anywhere else. Its precise significance isn't known, but it seems to point to the head of the local taxation department. Think IRS on steroids. Zacchaeus would employ others in the actual collecting of taxes, while he passed on what the Romans required. So this meant he was extorting more money from the people. As Walter Littfield points out, he was extorting more money from the people than he had contracted to pay the Roman government. And that had evidently worked well for him. He was rich. His location in the major custom center of Jericho was ideal. Being both a member of a generally despised group and wealthy, well, Zacchaeus was like a big old insect probably to the community, a big old money-grubbing insect. As Dr. Morris points out, he says that Jericho must have been a good spot for a tax man, since it was an important trade route from Jerusalem to the east, passed right by it. And it was the center of a good deal of wealth. It included they had these famous balsam groves there too. So it's no surprise that Zacchaeus was rich, but he was also unpopular. And he probably was lonely. He probably lived a pretty lonely social life. He was a money-grubbing beetle on his back and didn't know it. Well, he sees Jesus, and he climbs a tree. That's where Zacchaeus starts. He starts from a distance. He observes him from a distance. As church, that's what we want to do. We want to have people come and be intrigued by Jesus and be able to observe him from whatever distance they're ready to do that. It could be worship. It could be a Bible study. Or it could be the pumpkin patch, community pumpkin patch event we're going to have next week, or the trunk or treat we're going to have on Halloween. These events will allow people to come and check Jesus out as he's present among us. He's present in how we treat each other. He's present in how we love each other. He's present in how we welcome strangers. And these events give newcomers a perch from which to observe, check Jesus out, even from a bit of a distance. With events like the pumpkin patch next Saturday or the trunk or treat or other things we're going to have coming up, we give people perches to check him out. It's like we're planting trees for people to climb and look around and see what the Lord is like. What is this guy like? I want to learn more about him because he's here. Zacchaeus had the tree. Next Saturday, we're going to have pumpkins. Same idea. We're open to all kinds of ideas about how to do that. The natural world becomes a way to peer in to the supernatural and check out this arrival, this person. And as we do that, as we create those spaces, we can be absolutely certain that as they look to Jesus, Jesus will look at them. Jesus will see them. That's what happens here. He sees them. What, my little moment with the beetle this morning, looking down and seeing that little guy, that's just a little fraction, a 1/10 of 1% of our Lord's perception. When our Lord reached the spot, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, he knows his name. He knows his name. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Jesus initiates with Zacchaeus, and he does so really strong. When I encounter unchurched people, or even people who just haven't been to church in a while, or people who haven't really, they maybe go to church but aren't in discipleship, we're all in a process, right? The point is, we can always be assured Jesus sees us, knows your name, and is calling your name, reaching out. He wants to be with you. Consider that when you encounter someone new at church or outside in the checkout line, the barista, people you see on the street, in the hallway of your place, of your workplace, wherever. Consider that Jesus knows their name and wants to be with them. He is seeing them through you because now he's no longer localized in the human presence. He is in the spirit everywhere. When we move, seeing people and knowing that Jesus sees them through us, it moves us out of ourselves. When we become cognizant of that, more aware of the Jesus who sees people through us and makes us a venue through which people can be seen, that really changes our attitude. It changes it from, what do I say to this person? What do I have to say to this person to get them interested in church? Or what do I have to say to this person to answer their questions? And instead, it focuses us on Jesus, who is seeing them through us. And then we can pivot. And instead of thinking of having to do all that in our hearts, we can say, Lord, how are you reaching into this person's life? You know this person's name. I might not even know this person's name. You know their name. How can I join you in how you're reaching out to them like you reached out to Zacchaeus? Now, in the case of Zacchaeus, imagine this. If we had been there and Jesus had been in our hearts and was in our hearts in that moment through the Holy Spirit as he is now, and we were speak on his behalf, and we feel that a look up to Zacchaeus and say on behalf of Jesus, hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house today. Come down immediately. Let's party. Think of that. As Dr. Morris comments, Jesus did not say, I would like to stay at your house. He said, I must stay. This is strong language, divine mission. Wherever we go, Jesus is walking through there with us, in us, and initiating with people through us. What neighbors does God put in your path to invite them to invite you into their lives on behalf of Jesus? Whose house is God moving you to visit? Notice on one hand, what Jesus says to Zacchaeus is daring. On the other hand, it's kind of basic. Jesus doesn't give Zacchaeus a big theological speech. Jesus basically says to Zacchaeus, hey, I'm coming over. Truth traffics in relationships. Truth moves within relationships. Truth is personal and relational in Jesus Christ. He says, I am the truth. Look what happens then when the one who is the truth comes to this guy's house. Verse 6, so we came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Two things when God in the flesh, when the one who is the truth graciously goes to visit this guy, two things happen. First, God's reputation, God in the flesh's reputation takes a hit. He's going to be guest of a sinner. Second, Zacchaeus responds to the presence of grace and truth by becoming more truthful and more gracious. When we move with Jesus, there can be a cost to our reputation. There can be. I remember when the great Earl Palmer preached on this sermon one time. He said, Jesus' stock went down, Zacchaeus' stock went up. It's interesting. When we move with Jesus, that can happen. We take our hit. Our rep might take a hit. Oh, you're having lunch with that person in the cafeteria? Oh, you're visiting that person's house? We violate the natural flow of things. We flip the script when we move with Jesus. That person's not supposed to hang out with that person. That ain't right. Well, this is Jesus we're talking about here, right? This is what he does. So that's the first thing. So be prepared that moving with Jesus will inevitably ruffle feathers, break protocol, as happens here. But also know that when you move with Jesus, the people we move toward in his name can experience transformation. That happens here too. It could happen suddenly, like with Zacchaeus' immediate response, or as is often the case, the Lord's impact on others may take longer. take the experience of Jesus with Zacchaeus and stretch it out over days, months, years. When I was in college, Lehigh University, I lived in a dorm called Taylor College, and there was a guy down the hall from me named Heinrich. And Heinrich could be, how should I say, very challenging. He was he was a junior or a senior. He was an upperclassman. He could be kind of harsh. He could be hard on me with his words, kind of tease me, yelled at me, barked at me once or twice, and just kind of rolled with it. He knew I was a Christian, and, one time he really yelled at me, seemingly out of nowhere. And this went on through the year, and I just lived there, and he lived where he lived, and we just hung in there. I know it was the grace of God that helped me to keep being the best neighbor I could be, not perfect, but the best neighbor I could be, sharing a hall, sharing bathrooms, doing all that. And then at the end of the year, I never forget, I was walking past Heinrich's room and we started talking, and he had gotten a new car for graduation from his parents, and pretty nice gift. And he looked at me and I said, "Wow, that's great." And he said, "Hey, want to take a ride?" And he offered me a ride in his car. He offered me to take his new car out for a spin. I've got to think, in that moment, Jesus had a breakthrough. It wasn't me. I can't attribute that to myself. The guy who teased and yelled and was tough suddenly opened. And there was a generosity. And he didn't bow the knee and cry holy in that moment. But something happened. I think what happened was that Jesus, in our interaction, had some kind of impact on Heinrich. People impacted by grace become gracious. Dale Bruner says this in his commentary on Matthew. Faith that receives grace becomes more gracious. And I think even in the embryonic level, I don't think Heinrich would have said he was a confessing Christian. I don't know. Couldn't see inside his heart. But something happened there, right? When we're present to people and we walk into their lives and we're present and we hang in, the Lord's impact has its way. Well, it's a good reminder first for us, thinking of us as Zacchaeus, is the grace I receive from you, Lord, is that making me more gracious? Start with us, right? Is the grace I receive from Jesus making me more gracious with my time and talent and treasure? We can ask him to help us with that. If you catch yourself struggling to be more gracious and generous, if you find yourself being stingy, don't just settle for giving yourself a pep talk. Try spending more time with Jesus. Invite him over. Have dinner together. Zacchaeus, you notice, didn't become more gracious simply by giving himself a pep talk or simply by being told that he needed to be better. Zacchaeus became more gracious by letting grace in the door, literally. He let grace inside. So if you find yourself withholding grace or being stingy in some way with your time, talent, and treasure, or being less gracious or less forgiving or whatever, you may need to just open that door to Jesus more and then leave it open so that what he pours into you can pour out of you, and look for opportunities that will come. But again, notice, there isn't any convicting speech here towards Zacchaeus by Jesus. For certain, Jesus has plenty to say, and those words convict us many times, and we need to let those words into our lives and let them convict us, and when we're called to share them, we share them for sure. But notice here that it appears that Jesus and Zacchaeus just hung out together. No grand speech, no rebuke, just time. Hey, I'm coming over. He comes over, they hang out, and then he's given back half his wealth. And he's offering to repay anyone who he cheated four times the amount, which is actually way above and beyond what the Jewish law required of him. Again, there is much that Jesus says and does that we're called to share directly. Paul does that. The Greek word is dialogeo. He reasons. He speaks. There is speech, absolutely. We talk and tell about who we are in Christ and all of that. But here, in his presence, grace is the sermon. And sometimes that will be the case. The gracious ministry of presence of Jesus is the sermon. Our Lord's presence alone impacts the atmosphere in this guy's life. He's going and just being with him. Watch when that'll happen to you in the workplace, in your family, at the family dinner table, again, I'm not saying we're never called to speak. I'm just saying we're not only called to speak, right? We're called to realize that the one of whom we speak inhabits more than our words, inhabits everything. Watch what he does. Just by going and being yourself, wherever you're called to be, that going and being yourself in Christ as a disciple, warts and all, in homes, at dinner tables, out and about, in the workplace, wherever. And watch, because the atmosphere will be impacted by you. When we show up in people's lives, salvation comes. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. When we show up in people's lives in Jesus' name, when we live into our discipleship, we live into it, warts and all, humanity and all, even in our struggles, when we're present to Jesus in whatever way he is growing his life inside of us through the Spirit, when we're present to that, then we are like salvation's movable feast, you know, kind of a movable bread cart of Jesus, with, as he's growing us, with more generosity, more kindness, more grace, more forgiveness, more truth in words and actions that challenge people, but that also make sense of life. More truth expressed in words etched in our experience. When we do those things, when we step into whatever zones God gives us to move into, when we come over and just hang out with whomever he calls us to work with, we are a living billboard for the salvation rescue that has arrived in Jesus. And likely two things are going to happen. One is that they'll either move away, resist, and maybe even reject it and bail, or they will move toward and be impacted in some way. Maybe a micron of movement, maybe maximum movement, or everything in between. Because as Zacchaeus shows us, it's hard to sit still around Jesus one way or another. He's always on the move. You may be called to reach into someone's world, like reaching down that beetle, right? And you may start by going, oh, I think I'll just try my foot. And that's not getting it done. They still need more help. And you touch them a little bit more and and you're afraid. I think this happens sometimes with Christians, can be afraid to get into the muck and mire of life. But as we do that, we touch and we move them toward not the grass, but the Lord. And we help them go right on their legs and on their feet again. Taking a risk with him. And we realize all the way along, it's Jesus who's moving through us to touch his dear ones. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for Zacchaeus. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. We are on our backs. We are flailing. We scare each other. Afraid we're going to get bitten or stung in whatever way. If we are your hands and feet, Lord, help us to trust you and reach out and reach in. For you love us way more than beetles, cool as beetles are. We are your people, your precious ones, and we thank you for your reaching out into Zacchaeus' life and for your movement toward him and the way you work in him. Help us as people who have received grace to become more gracious, more generous. For your generosity is unfathomable. Help us to trust that. Thank you for your patience. Help us to move with you in a ministry of presence, in words and deeds, and all that we do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.